Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Chapter 39. Cephas. The Apostle Peter. Assemble the army. Scriptures. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. A great people and a strong, there hath not ever been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Joel 2:2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations, and all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he hath a name written which no one knoweth but he himself, and he is arrayed in a garment sprinkled with blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty. And he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in mid-heaven, Come and be gathered together unto the great supper of God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit thereon, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the signs in his sight, wherewith he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They too were cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, even the sword which came forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21, American Standard Version. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. Romans 8:14. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 to 11, Amplified Version. End Scriptures. Vision. Beholding from a distance, I could see the overcomers in full armor, scattered throughout the earth, each one separated the one from the other by time and distance. Each member of this company of overcomers was fully armored in the armor provided to us by Ephesians 6, 11 to 13. But they were distanced through the earth, scattered, separate, and not in unity. Above them I saw a beast with seven heads and 10 horns who held the world and the overcomers captive in its horrible control. Above the beast was a red dragon in the atmosphere, above the earth, who was feeding and giving strength to the beast below it. Then above the atmosphere and the very heavens itself was the throne set with the Ancient of Days, even the Lord upon the throne. The Lord looked down upon the earth and said to the overcomers, "Come up hither." The overcomers began to ascend in the Spirit. But as soon as they began to ascend, the beast would beat them down, keeping them held to the earth. The overcomers were not able to ascend at the word of the Lord because of the complications of the beast, which held them to their carnality in the present world. Then I saw the Lord bend over while upon his throne and rebuke his army. Then each one came into perfect rank and order, a column of soldiers who were perfect in every respect in the image of their commander. Immediately when they came in rank, they ascended and were caught up even unto the throne of the Ancient of Days. While they were caught up, they were also still upon the earth in bodies of glory, eternal flesh, with the life of the living Christ flowing through them in a measure that was not in any restraint. These marched forward from that point in the full measure of the life of Christ in perfect union in spirit. When I beheld the Lord upon the throne and the army in glorified bodies upon the earth, they had the same glory, the same perfection, the same holiness as he that sat upon the throne. End vision. Who would have thought that in our day, those who overcome would continue in such deep repentance? For the Lord has not yet fully received all the repentance we are due to give him. There is much yet for him to work out in our lives as we continue on in this walk daily. I see a unique distinction between those who overcome all things and those caught up in religious tradition. The unique thing is the depth and range of repentance required to overcome. For it is repentance from the flesh, from carnality, and from dead works that is our portion in this hour. The more we see the close appearing of the Lord, the more we need to repent in our own lives of any attempt to finish the work of God in us. By that repentance, God will be free to finish his work his way and by his time and methods, not by our own volition, but by his grace. By this same repentance that we are allowing the Lord to teach us to make correct steps, thus working out daily that walk that is needed as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. When I see those who overcome, I see a group of people in the earth that are presently unidentified. They have no real place to fit in with. They are not in concert with the rest of Christianity when it comes to being unified in some sort of group or assembly. The true overcomers I see are scattered. They are here and there through the world, and they are not housed in an assembly or in a structure. They are distanced one from another, even if they live in the same community or city. Each one is separate by the hand of the Lord to be guided as individual living stones in his body, his church, that heavenly assembly built by Christ alone. This is a present reality that is happening to the overcomers. They are experiencing seclusion. So it is that as they experience this seclusion, they are actually being fitted into their rightful place in the Jasper Foundation of the City of God. The New Jerusalem, for the lowest foundation row, is built of jasper, and this row represents the Apostle Peter. It was Peter who learned some hard lessons. He learned that the Jewish way of thinking in his time was dormant in the mind of God. He learned that the traditions of the law that made the Jews unique was lost in this new gospel that Paul spoke of, which gospel was delivered now unto the Gentiles as well. It was Peter, not Paul, who was first given the truth that salvation had come to the Gentiles. He was the one who in Acts chapter 10 had the vision of the sheet with all manner of animals in it. Later on, it was Paul who became the apostle to the Gentiles. But Peter was first laid, as it were, out as a foundation upon which all of the truth now introduced into the world would be built. So here we are now, two millenniums after this revelation was given to Peter. And what do we have? We have horrendous division, terrible war amongst brethren, strife of every kind sects and functions of religious effort more than ever before. Thousands of denominations in the Christian world, millions of doctrines, billions upon billions of slanted views of who Jesus really is. Out of all this, God does a miracle. He calls out the overcomer unto himself and puts them in their closet of prayer. In so doing, he requires not just repentance over the flesh nature, but repentance from being a part of man's assembly. Repentance from wars of words. Repentance from division and sectarian thinking. Repentance from our own thought nature. Repentance from being separated from God because of blasphemous thinking in our old denominational views. You do not see the nominal Christian having to repent of being a part of a church. There is not in the earth at this time one single denomination that has it right. They're all contrary to this true gospel delivered to Peter and to Paul. Instead of inclusion, they are exclusionists. Again, instead of inclusion, they are exclusionists and are their masters of it. Instead of continuing in repentance and cessation from dead works and of having faith towards God for the salvation of all and the restitution of all, they have secret clubs who hold a special corner in heaven just for their cause. Instead of laying down their lives for the sake of the gospel, they are adamantly defending their system of belief as being the only one that will survive the coming of the Lord. From all of this, we as overcomers are told to turn away. Out of this lukewarmness, we are commanded to come out. From beyond this border of self-justification, we are instructed to deliver ourselves through repentance. If you, dear overcomer, think your time of repentance is over, think again, for we have much more ahead of us that we will need to repent of before we see the fullness of the Lord come into our lives as vessels meet for the Master's use. So it seems that the overcomers are separated out individually in a closet of prayer and set apart for the greater purposes of God. Again, so it seems that the overcomers are separated out individually in a closet of prayer and set apart for the greater purposes of God. The problem with this is that we are also separated from each other. This is now what the Spirit of the Lord is going to change in the earth, and you will see it. I say this prophetically. You will see the walls of seclusion and barrier from those of like precious faith be broken down by the Spirit of the Lord. For the Lord will come and will find faith in the earth, in those who are overcoming, but nowhere else. The rest of the world will still live in the malady of sect and division until God rains down upon it fire and brimstone to burn it up as stubble before a hot fire. The day of the Lord is upon us, which will burn as an oven. And no one who is outside of this place of repentance will survive this day. If you think that the hard things in the world will be the things which will cause men to come to God, think again. Nation, rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, the refuge of lies, the anger of ungodly men or of unrighteous governments, the threat of nuclear war or of terrorism or any other such thing is nothing. What is really going to be difficult for this world will be the openly revealed wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed against all who hold truth in unrighteousness. But in our time, I am prophesying that you will live to see it. We are about to see certain elements of the natural creation begin to judge this world, for the natural elements of this fallen creation are more of a servant to God than most people. And it will be the natural elements in the forms of storms, earthquakes, and volcanoes that will begin to unveil the wrath of God. Men, of course, will excuse this as Mother Nature. But believe this, God is behind it all and will allow these measures to come to bring to a conclusion the reign of iniquity in the earth. This which is promised has even now begun and will come to a full conclusion. Men will gnaw on their own tongues before they repent. There is in the earth right now a counterfeit army, one that imitates the Lord's army, but it works opposite. This army that is now counterfeit marches up to the gates of the New Jerusalem to take it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." The Lord's army is about to come together, joined together by the workings of the Lord alone, marches opposite to this. They come from the New Jerusalem to the earth to set it free. Allow me a footnote here. You see the counterfeit army coming from the earth to the New Jerusalem, but the Lord's true army comes from the New Jerusalem to the earth to set it free. End footnote. And this march is not done by the religious effort of men, but by the Lord, who has been worked in full stature into each soldier of this army. This heavenly army first began as individual soldiers of the cross, but ended as soldiers of his heavenly host. They march down, not up, to judge, because they first, through a completed course of repentance, were first judged by the Lord and came through each test in perfection. The jasper stone represented the grace of God, which brings salvation, showing forth one half of the nature of God. When that revelation of the nature of God is completed, then the army is fully formed. I say unto you, the reader, this army is still being prepared. This army is still separated one from another in the earth. This army is still positioned outside of the parameter of man's religious efforts, but inside the perfect will of God in seclusion. But now we will see a very shortened work. This is the wheel within the wheel that Ezekiel saw, the church within the overall Christian world church. It is through them that the workings of God for our time will be completed, and it is through them that the function of his Spirit will next be done, even the judgment of iniquity and the refuge of lies, which will now take place in the earth. So how do you know if you are part of the army of the Lord? How do you know that you will be counted as one who will march forward to set this creation free when this army of the Lord begins its march in the earth? You will know by the seclusion you experience now. Again, you will know you're part of the Lord's army. You will know by the seclusion you experience now. This will be real to you by your solitude. Do you fit in with what's happening around you in the Christian world? If you do, then do not think you are a part of this mighty revelation of the army of the Lord that will come forth in the earth. But if you detest Christian circles and fellowships of sectarianism and of denominational efforts and ambitions and schedules and plans and efforts to bring in the lost, no matter the cost, then you are most definitely separated out from this to be prepared for the true thing which the Lord will do. There is to be a rebuke brought to us in our seclusion. This will be personal between you and the Lord, who will rebuke you and chastise you and then fit you in perfect rank and order in his company of overcomers. There will be no rift, no division, no sectarianism, no confusion of order or time or space. There will be no discomfiting of purpose or of ambition in those who are of his army. Why? Because they have no personal desire of their own. They only wish to do that which by their character is the very person of the Lord in them. They image perfectly the Lord so that there is no question. And they have one single purpose, and that is the restoration of all things. Go then to the Lord in prayer and ask for this rebuke to come to you. Ask him to correct whatever is left in your heart and do so with your eyes lifted up to view him alone when you ask. Ask boldly. Ask willingly. Ask with the thought that you wish to exchange your thinking for his. For I have prophesied that the blood of Jesus will flow in your very veins. That means that your very thoughts will also be only his. Your very will shall be only his. Your very function in your body glorified will still be a body yielded only to him. Ah, this army is magnificent. It is the answer of the Lord to a dying creation. It is his conclusion to the second world and to the beginning of the third that is now coming. The army of the Lord is the ways and means by which the Spirit of the Lord will flow. They on the earth who will be in great tribulation at that time will look up to see the descent of the city of God to this world. And the first foundation stone that they will see will be the jasper stone of the Apostle Peter. Even those who were fitted in first because of their repentance and seclusion. Repent, dear overcomer. that you may obtain this calling. Repent, that you might be one in the purpose of the Lord. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.